All right, let me just admit up front that I recognize that I'm an odd duck. I can't imagine that you guys spend near as much time as I do thinking about stuff like Trinity and cross and all those kind of things. I am some kind of geek as it relates to scripture and stuff. Do you guys, I mean, I don't spend very much time thinking about baseball season starting. Anybody think about baseball? How about basketball, Final Four, National Championship? Anybody care about that? Yeah, Duke was out a long time ago. I'm over it already. It's amazing how many things we get to turn into love. Like, I don't know, anybody love fishing? I got a couple of you. There are things. For some reason, I have this fascination with reading theology books and stuff. So maybe I'm in the right job. But what I want to do this morning is really stretch the way you think about the cross. Because if you were like me, I used to think of the cross as the on display God showing us that I did this for you. There's no punishment for you because I took it on. You guys were bad and I took care of it. Anybody have that kind of sense? I don't have that sense anymore. For me, the cross is not about a mean, vengeful God who, in order to make things right, decided he had to kill somebody. If it can't be a sheep, if it can't be a something else, somebody's got to die, right? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to consider that you yourself play the role both of God and of Jesus, that you think about the person you love the most in all of your life. Parents, spouse, children, who is it that you loved the most? Love, present tense, a love that will never be satisfied. Do you have that person in mind? How do we, in God's place, love humanity? And how do we, in God's place, in Jesus, recognize that it's all about love and not about vengeance? Now, sometimes preachers are inclined to use guilt and shame, and they want this to be the weapon that straightens everybody out. But that doesn't feel loving to me. As you, as a parent, as somebody who's in love with somebody, would you do that to your children? I'm going to do this. It's going to hurt me. That feels to me like God, that we're trying to let God steer us so we behave right. Let me once again repeat that David didn't behave right. And David didn't need all the manipulative steering. I want you to consider that the cross is just about the enormity of God's love. That without it, we would never understand how much God loves us. That's the only reason. Not because we deserve divine punishment, but just because it's the only way to get through to us how much God loves us. I have a stepdaughter, Megan. She will never know how much I love her until she does something amazingly wrong and I step up. Because I can say it all I want. But other folks in her life have said that all the time to her and have not always stepped up. She will never know until it's so bad that it's remarkable that I love her. Does that make sense? I don't think the cross is about our sin. Because that's looking at the cross from our perspective and only our perspective. But from God's perspective, do you think God's worrying about all of our little things? Or is God saying, this is who I am? God could have figured out many different ways to worry about our sin. God already wins the victory. God is God. Why did God have to die? There's got to be another way. But God chose the cross to show us the amount of love. And on the cross, from the cross, says, Father, forgive them. Jesus dies forgiving. And it's not about the fact that we need forgiveness as much as it is when we love our children, we offer forgiveness in ways that seems remarkable. When we love our spouses, we love more than anything they can do. When we say we love unconditionally, it has to mean no matter what. The power of the cross is that it's just the opening for us to see how much God loves. Tell me I'm making sense and I'm not just some theological geek that's... Thanks. We have a choice, and that choice dictates how we see the cross. If God is a mean old man who sits on a throne and needs us to behave properly, which really sounds like a principle from the 1940s, right? If God is a mean, vengeful being that really just wants us to behave correctly, then the cross is about, see, I told you, somebody was going to have to pay. But that doesn't feel loving to me. Because I, as parent, would never do that to child, spouse, or to my parents. On the other hand, if we let this be the defining action of who God is, it tells us that if we are created in the image of God, then when we are self-giving, when we are vulnerable and give ourselves away on behalf of someone else, and we do that as parent, we do that as soldier, we do that sometimes with strangers, and I think it says something pretty intuitively and something fairly deep when it brings us to tears when we see somebody do this random act of great generosity. Maybe because in that moment we are truly seeing God's face. I believe the cross is us truly seeing God's face. God plays both parts. God is the one Jesus prays to, and Jesus is also God. This is what we're going to talk about with the Richard Rohr webcast about Trinity. Talks about the Trinity as dance, and I can't explain it either. I'm still trying to wrap my head around some of the stuff Richard Rohr talks about. But truly, if God is love, then God is not about a person who sits on throne. God is about being loving. Way too philosophical this morning, aren't I? I really want to stretch us today so that when Maundy Thursday comes, the day we celebrate the Last Supper, and when Good Friday comes, and when Easter comes, our brains are already looking out for the God who is the God of such incredible love. God chooses to show God's self as a God who dies forgiving, not blaming. And Easter allows us to see that the God that was on the cross is really God. The one who gets on the cross really is God. God really died to show us God's love. I wrote this piece to try to help explain this, and I put it in the newsletter, I want to say last month. I'm not sure everybody reads the newsletter. Does everybody read the newsletter? Wow, not bad. 15%. Sometimes preachers wonder if anybody ever reads the newsletter. So let's see if I can make sense by saying it this way. The cross is not directly about sin to God. To God, the cross is merely an expression of who God is and was and always will be. God is one who loves with such great love that it redeems even us. For me, the cross is about the great love of God towards all of us, not merely a reminder that I am a failure, always missing the mark, always needing redemption. Sometimes I feel like I'm always in need of redemption. Is that just me? These two ways of thinking seem to be aligned. They seem to be one and the same, but I believe the cross is the defining moment in humanity's understanding of the true character of God. The God of the cross is the God of unconditional love. My best illustration would be how some moments we are able to show the depth of our love for someone. Can you remember a moment when you really understood how much your father or mother or brother or sister or another person in your life loved you because you finally crashed and were at your worst and they stepped up? Has anybody ever for you stepped up in a moment when you thought you were so unlovable nobody would step up? I see a couple of heads nodding. And all of a sudden you get to see how deep the love really is. The cross is God stepping up. Not because we deserve it, but because of who God is. God is of the cross, the God of the cross is the God of unconditional love. The depth of the love has been there all along. The moment does not change the one who loves, but brings the one who is loved to a new level of awareness or depth of the depth of the love. When we care for a stranger, they feel loved, and for some, they feel less alone, more hopeful. When we say, I do, when we sacrifice our desires for the sake of our children, when we choose to go without so that someone we love can have something they need, these moments reflect a big and deep love that is already present in us, as well as reflecting the deepest nature of God's creation. If we are created in the image of God, the one who creates, the one who sacrifices, the one who redeems, the one who heals, the one who empathetically grieves, the one who is present, the one who chooses to put on human skin and make grace an unconditional concrete, if we are the image of God, then that's when we are at our best, when we are healing and redeeming and sacrificing and grieving and being present. When we offer grace and unconditional love. So when I look at the cross, I am overwhelmed by who God is and was and always will be. God who is defined by grace and love and a God who loves unconditionally. I think that the cross tells us about God. And love is the aim. Forgiveness of sin is the way we look at it from our point of view, but the forgiveness of sin was already there the day before. God already loved us before the cross. We just didn't recognize it. Love is love. Not every crucifixion that happened during the time of the Romans was a great act of love, but this one is. Most crucifixions were mean and degrading and humiliating, vengeful. On the other hand, this one is self-giving, forgiving, healing. Don't let your view of other crucifixions color this one. In all the other crucifixions, nothing happened later. If you want to know the difference between this crucifixion and all the other crucifixions, come back on Easter and I'll tell you a story. There was one quote from the book that I just loved and I want to make sure I share. This is from Catherine of Siena. If you need love, God's the love you need because of the power of his love kept him nailed fast to the cross. Only the power of love kept the God-man bound there, not mere cross and nails. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, open our minds to the meaning, the deep meaning of the cross, so that once again we hear the good news of healing and forgiveness, not because a sacrifice was made, but because you were willing to give yourself. And in that, we get to see true love and true victory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. In response